Welcome to TalentWise, the definitive podcast for CXOs, human resource and learning and development leaders. This show comes to you from thought leaders who talk about human capital development in today's organization. How to engage and empower today's employee to be effective, competitive and relevant. Stay with us for an exciting conversation with our guest and learn how to future-proof your team. I'm your host Shubhanjan, founder of KnowledgeBridge. Today we have Deba Prasad Adya, currently CEO KFC Business with Sapphire Foods.
It basically again depends on this whole debate about generalization versus specialization. So if a job is a specialist, clearly defined input and output, then you train up to do something, there are five steps to do it, all it matters is how do you efficiently do it, the effectiveness comes automatically. But there are much more sets of job now, if not in number but in the value of the output, where you are both thinking and doing and adapting how you have to do it. It's not a set formula, this five steps equal to result. That is where trainability comes, because with technology we are finding new ways to arrive at the same output. And if then the employees are not able to match up to that, then there is issue. And hence, in a different context, in many of the jobs, people say that now we look for attitude when we hire, the skills we can impart. And the attitude is both in terms of, obviously, if it is a customer-facing job, then whether you can talk to people and whatever, the extrovert nature. If it is a technical or a problem solving related job, then how is your analytical skills, etc. So there is ability to learn, willingness to learn. Many times people have ability to learn but attitude wise not willing to learn for whatever reason. So many companies are now hiring for that.
Our guest today is Deba Prasad Adya. He has over 25 years of experience in management consulting, media, retail and food services industries. He is the CEO KFC Business with Sapphire Foods, a master franchisee of Yum India. In 2015, he joined Sapphire Foods after an 8-year stint with Infinity Retail Limited, which runs Croma Electronics mega stores. At Croma, he headed store operations with over 100 stores and 3,500 employees, and later private label, merchandising and store design. He was part of the launch team at Tata Sky and with Tata Strategic Management Group, heading the retail and consumer goods, media and entertainment, energy and chemicals practices. Deba holds a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering from Calcutta University and an MBA from IIM Ahmedabad. Now on to this exciting new episode of TalentWise with Deba Prasad Adya. Hello Deba. Welcome to TalentWise. It's really wonderful to have you with us and I'm looking forward to our chat. To start with, I would request you to say a bit about yourself and how you have been looking at work as a instrument for running and growing organizations.
Great to talk to you, Shubhanjan. Briefly about me, I have been in the industry for over 2 decades, worked in various industries, consulting, media, retail and now food services. And the last two of them are in essence manpower intensive, and they have distributed manpower. So when you want to define work, obviously it's no one definition. It depends on what level of people you talk about and some link to what kind of industry one is talking about. But in general, where things are moving is people are looking at now outputs rather than just efforts, because as measurement of everything is becoming easier and it's then directly economic relatable. So that's one focus, and obviously the things that are influencing them is of course technology. What skills are relevant today and which is changing rapidly, and how do we prepare ourselves for the future. So it is about not just about what we know or do today, but it is whether we are ready to adapt for tomorrow. And that's where the things like trainability of people, etc. becomes very important. So that's so broadly on work. Obviously, there is a lot of influence of digital and technology in terms of the way output is delivered in many industries. There are some industries, of course, still a physical contact or physically doing something is still part of it. But there are many, much of the work today is also what is digitally delivered in a sense, which again means that you don't need to be at a fixed place to deliver the work. A lot of work is also becoming collaborative, which in a sense is in an assembly line in a factory, people used to work collaboratively. In a different sense now, people are working collaboratively where a set of people are doing different bits in an overall output and how they can interact and collaborate and not necessarily physically being there thanks to technology. So these are some of the changes that overall that is happening.
Fantastic. So one thread, I'll come back to collaborative bit. I think that's a very interesting point. But you touched upon something called employability and trainability. Can you sort of elaborate from your experience where it is actually going to impact and where you see it might not sort of give the output that we need? For what I mean is that there could be some part of your workforce who may not be trainable at all. And what kind of impact does that leave on the organization as well as the people?
It basically again depends on this whole debate about generalization versus specialization. So if a job is a specialist, clearly defined input and output, then a continuous training in there is less relevant. You train up to do something, there are five steps to do it. All it matters is how do you efficiently do it. The effectiveness comes automatically. But there are much more sets of job now, if not in number but in the value of the output, where you are both thinking and doing and adapting how you have to do it. It's not a set formula, this five steps equal to result. That is where trainability comes, because with technology we are finding new ways to arrive at the same output. And if then the employees are not able to match up to that, then there is issue. And hence, in a different context, in many of the jobs, people say that now we look for attitude when we hire, the skills we can impart. And the attitude is both in terms of, obviously, if it is a customer-facing job, then whether you can talk to people and whatever the extrovert nature. If it is a technical or a problem-solving related job, then whether how is your analytical skills, etc. So those. But the whole point is that if you have the right attitude, which means the basic skill of the basic approach to the job and willingness to learn. So there is ability to learn, willingness to learn. Many times people have ability to learn, but attitude wise not willing to learn for whatever reason. So many companies are now hiring for that. So that is one angle. If you look at employability, that's a different topic in the sense of whether you're looking at employability of entry level people or keeping yourself employable as you grow in your career. So at the first level is the issue of what are the mass skills required in the various industry that have, because there we are talking of numbers, large number of young people, industry needing large number of and in many cases it is similar kind of many people. It may be distributed if it is retail or a sales force, or it may be concentrated if it is a software delivery factory or a manufacturing unit. So there often where we call is a vocational training or whatever of that sort. Vocational training can be technical, vocational training can be in other ways also. So that is entry level employability. But as you go ahead, that employability is based on how one understands and adapts to technology, whether the company can provide in a cost effective and delivery efficient way of training large number of people as the skills required and the industry dynamics are changing. So that's the issue of ongoing employability of people will depend on that.
Do you see that it is a bigger role for the employee, or it's a bigger role in terms of continuous employability and the continuous training? The organization has to play a much more active role in that.
I guess it is both. Organization has to do to be able to both use people more effectively and also to retain people. If people feel out of place in terms of their skills to do the job, you won't be able to, and retention is a huge issue today. So for companies' job, both for efficiency as well as retaining people, that way of continuously training and reskilling and upskilling or upgrading is needed. From an employee's point of view, it is becoming equally important. So as we said, you don't stop learning, and hence your basic education or qualification is becoming less and less relevant. What you learn both on the job, which has been for a while, but also out of job, are you developing on your own additional skills, which is based on your interest, personal interest, or what will become important in your field, is also equally important. And that's why we see a large number of young people are investing in themselves in terms of learning new skills. And today the avenues to do that are much widespread, thanks to the whole digital economy and internet. So it's both ways.
So one question around this is that how, from the industries that you know closely, how much of the jobs are getting impacted by digitization, which means what kind of jobs do you think are vanishing and actually getting taken over by software?
Actually, this also evolved. Initially, many of the repetitive technical tasks, initially where you invented machine, and then repetitive non-technical work which got replaced by computers happened. So that was, I would say, phase one. But now lot of the personalized interaction, like customer service, is also getting digitized and automated, and often producing a better output. So you see self-ordering kiosk or automated customer service and from chatbots to everything, which based on initial bits of even artificial intelligence, often people are finding a more consistent response that a company can provide. This is a big change, because one of the thoughts was where you need personalization, people would be needed. Together, you can create mass customization and mass personalization through technology and digital in many fields, and that is a big threat to mass employability then.
Right. We will now take a short break. When we come back, we will hear Deba sharing his thoughts on the new generation and their approach to work, how they are more prepared, more deliberate in their choices, and how they are thinking things through, contrary to the popular belief. Stay with us.
You are listening to a Show How To audio original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences.
Welcome back. I asked Deba Adya, CEO Sapphire Foods, what changes he sees in the new generation as they approach work. So when you are looking at the two generations, I would say, I mean broadly, people who were not originally part of this whole change, which is technology led, this new world, and the new generation, what changes do you see in the new generation when they're approaching work?
So obviously the new generation is much more aware of the opportunities and options. So the choice is much thought through. So more and more they are doing what they like to do, not what they got to do. So the element of choice is more, and they are willing to then skill themselves to do that. That is one. Number two is that they are making themselves more employable even before they start working by acquiring much more additional knowledge and skills than a college or a university education would provide, including getting hands-on work experience, which basically tells you how to work with people. It's not where you work is not important, just to understand in a work context what happens. And many people are doing that. So that is one change. And hence, how over a period they learn itself is different. So they will listen, go online and learn, they will do online courses, they will listen to podcast XYZ to learn, which probably people who were started 20, 30 years back are now struggling to adapt. Many are adapting, but that's not the natural way of learning for them, and that's where the challenge is, in a sense.
So when you are talking, you mentioned about collaborative work and that is becoming easier. So obviously a lot of it is facilitated by technology. So there are people who are working on their own. Remote working is becoming a reality. So there are large companies who are doing away with any physical offices and have distributed workforce all over the world, etc. So what kind of shifts do you see happening when we talk of work?
So all work that is not directly customer facing doesn't need a location or a time, as long as it's not a real time response that you're giving. Hence the whole dimension of space or distance and time, one can choose how we want to do, which will make it more efficient in terms of the cost and improve utilization. You can work anytime in the 24 hours or multiple people, and even in sequencing of work, and that's how the co-working is happening between different continents. So a seamless customer service can be provided based on the time zone, or collaborative working can be done. Flip side is that yes, it is works for many industries, but it may not work for a decision making levels or position which may need more personal interaction, or not necessarily the personal interaction has to be face to face, but it can be face to face via technology, but it needs that. It can't be just a digital interaction in terms of sending an email or that kind of a discussion. So that portion will remain probably the traditional way, still aided by technology, but much of the other rest of the work will lose the concept of both time or distance. Especially any work which is not physical production or manufacturing based, all of that can happen this way.
So do you see anything specific happening either in retail where you spend a lot of time or in the food services? Do you see anything that is basically changing and changing extremely rapidly vis-a-vis say 5 years back?
So couple of things. So one is two things in retail have changed based on technology. One is the whole issue of choice and inventory. As we know in retail, choice means inventory. And that has been a deterrent to expansion of retail profitably. Today, thanks to technology, that choice can be given without necessarily having distributed inventory. And that's where we talk about dark stores and then delivered to you and stuff like that. So there's one sort of change, technology-led change based on that, and then you talk of endless aisles and dark stores. The other change is in customer-facing aspects of the business. Simple, the sales process, cashiering and stuff like that, which is also getting automated. I spoke of automatic kiosk for ordering, or ordering from your own device. Even if you are in a store, you can always order and pay on your device and just collect the food or any other product. And people prefer that control. Earlier there was an issue that somebody will serve me, more so in India. Today people want control. They are more comfortable choosing and billing for themselves and paying rather than, you know, somebody else doing for that. This is a very fundamental change which is making it again cost effective for companies. Customers are getting control. Obviously, there is a, for countries like India, there's the issue of Hence, how do you generate employment if technology takes this? But finally, consumers will choose what is more efficient for them and what in terms of usage they like. So the companies have to adapt to it.
Both food services and retail, you have a fairly diverse, non-homogeneous workforce. So you have tiered qualification, tiered work. Mm. How do you view future-proofing these this workforce? Because it's not that one size will fit all, and you can have one policy or one idea which will serve people who are at a high level, who are managing, and the person in the showroom or at the outlets.
Right. So that's a very important aspect. Basically, it will get broken into two. One is who are in a distributed sense manufacturing and delivering product to customer, versus the back office, which is your from accounting to management. So as far as the distributed portion is concerned, even then that is tiered. Earlier, each level would have its automatic ceiling based on education. But today, because many people can learn later, not necessarily do. So you may have class 10th or 12th plus which you have hired. Then along with work, if they do a vocational course or a graduation, and then in some cases management education, they can grow through ranks. And that is happening across industries. That is a good way of retaining people rather than training new people. And we have seen that, and especially happens a lot in food industries. If you grow through the ranks, you understand what your team has done, because you have done at one point of time, then managing the team becomes very important. And so that is one change happening. There are still limitations to that, but it's happening increasing. As far as the back office or the support side is concerned, that's where we are seeing impact of digital in a big way. The way we work across locations or even across functions. So all kind of whatever impact of digital way of working applies to that. And also what is happening is at one on one side there is a war for talent. Other side there is huge unemployment. So how do we match them? How do the companies still get the people they need with certain basic aptitude and attitude, and then teach the work skills on a continuous basis as they evolve? Is an issue and challenge that we are also seeing.
So that brings me to a very interesting point. See, what is happening in developing countries like India is, like you mentioned, there is a huge amount of population which is apparently available for employing, yet it's difficult to find the kind of people you need, even in a entry level. So there is finally a huge body of unemployable people. Similarly, in the developed countries, because of rapid adaptation of technology, people who are doing certain kind of jobs are losing their jobs and not able to find. So there also an issue about non-employability is coming up. How do you sort of reconcile this issue, and what can we do about it?
So two aspects to it. One option is, how do you generate more employment even where technology is making things efficient, and hence you need more people. That's the fundamental, and that can only happen through growth of economy. If you have efficient industries, and hence are not only producing and providing for your country, but you are able to export goods, services, whatever, that's how you will have a disproportionate growth of industry and hence employment. So that's a broader, different topic. As far as employability is concerned, there are two parts to it. The places where you can work digitally or remote working, we spoke. That is relatively easy, because then physically having to travel to work, and hence where do you stay, all this is becoming relevant. But in some cases, for example, food service or retail, where you need those salesperson on the floor or working in the kitchen, the problem is happening that the people who are working there live in one part of the city, whereas most of our stores will be in another part of the city, because we will put stores where people can afford to buy. So this, and which means people have to travel to work, which means then they will see, I need to so much time and cost to commute. So hence your cost of employment goes up. So those challenges would remain where you have to physically work. So whereas you have to can work virtually becomes much, much easier in that sense. So there are two kinds of industry will do. However, overall numbers will depend on how efficient and how hence your economy grows. So even if per output you need less people, if you are competitive enough, you produce much larger scale of output, and hence that is the only solution to the employment issue in a developing country like India. In West, it's the issue of reskilling, because overall they still have a overall manpower shortage. It's just that many people who were in traditional industry and let's say at a middle age, where technology has taken away because of efficiency, taken away the job, they are struggling to get reskilled because of the fact that first half of their career probably they didn't have to learn anything new. They were specialists in their field, nothing was changing. So those are the people who are finding it very difficult to get reskilled. Probably they will have to get into sectors which don't need so much domain specific skills. That probably is the only solution there.
TalentWise is brought to you by KnowledgeBridge. We produce customized and multilingual visual training content. We have worked on complex processes, products and skills development for large blue chip brands such as Tata Motors, Mahindra First Choice, HomeLane, Epson, Toyota, Citibank and Consul Neowatt, serving diverse industries. Talk to us for your next custom content requirement and be pleasantly surprised. Call us on 9902163132.
Deva, thank you very much. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I am sure we'll talk again.
Thank you, Shubhanjan. My pleasure.
Thank you for being with us today on TalentWise. We hope we helped you focus on some actionable ideas today. It was certainly enlightening for us. We hope to see you again on our next episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts from, and give us a rating while you're at it. Thank you in advance. This Show How To original podcast is produced for KnowledgeBridge, the multilingual visual training platform and custom training content creators by Show How To Audio. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time.